Today I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. But just to alert you, I'll be preaching on verses 15 through 18. I've told you before that sometimes Paul gets going and he writes sentences that are just way too long to be able to treat in one setting. This is another case. In verse 18, when he says, "And do not be drunk with wine," it starts the beginning of a very long, important sentence, and I want to give that full attention. So I'm going to preach today on verses 15 through 18, and then take 18 through 21 next week. Listen as I read God's Word. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." If you were at a baseball game and a foul ball suddenly started to head your way, you might yell to those around you, "Heads up! Heads up!" We say that to get people's attention so that they know that there's something that they need to be careful of. Paul does something similar here. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Be careful how you walk. Or in other words, heads up, pay attention to how you walk. Now, when Paul speaks of walking, he has in mind living, not literally how you walk. If you're watching how you walk, you might be careful that you don't trip over a cord here in front of the congregation. Or you might watch so you don't run someone over. But Paul's not talking about literally walking. He's talking about how you live your life. It's actually the fifth time that Paul has used the idea of walking as a way of describing the Christian life. I hope you remember that these instructions that we've been considering at these past few weeks rise out of the reality of God's eternal plan of salvation that Paul talks about in chapters 1 through 3. In those chapters, Paul set out the truth of who you are in Jesus Christ. And then he moves in chapter 4 to start talking about, if this is true about who you are, then this also ought to be true. You ought to live this way. And four times previously, Paul has already said, "Watch how you walk." In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Chapter 4, 17, "Do not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Chapter 5, verse 2, "Walk in love." Chapter 5, verse 8, "Walk as children of light." Now he uses that analogy of walk one more time. "See that you walk circumspectly." I'm going to begin by defining what circumspectly means and lead us to understand this main idea for the message. You are a child of God. Therefore, be careful how you walk, bringing all things, all of your life under His dominion. You'll find that on the back of your bulletin and that outline that we'll follow. Beginning with walking circumspectly. Circumspectly means to be careful how you walk. And it covers these verses that I'm going to treat today, and actually it's going to reach all the way down to verse 9 in chapter 6. It's a large section in which Paul has in mind you being careful how you live. bringing all things underneath the dominion of Christ. It's connected with that idea that you are a child of God. And since you are a child of God, you ought to be careful how you live, or careful how you walk. And there is a sense of urgency about what Paul says. The New King James puts it this way. It says, "See then that you walk this way." And it's a word that's used there to get your attention, and that translation doesn't quite get that urgency that I tried to communicate with the idea of heads up. When you read "see then," you might think of that personally and think, heads up, this is important for you to be careful how you walk. So what does it mean to be careful how you walk? What does it mean to walk circumspectly? Paul gives three definitions to that, three comparisons to explain what it means to walk circumspectly. They all follow the same pattern. Walk not like this, but like this. I'll just summarize them and then we'll delve into them. Do not walk as fools, but as wise. Secondly, do not walk as unwise, but understanding. Specifically, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Walk not as drunk, but as filled with the Spirit. So all three follow that same pattern. Not this way, but this way. And all three call you to the same thing. They call you to live your life under the dominion of God's rule, of God's word. So let's look at that first comparison. Walk not as a fool, but as wise. Paul does something really nice here. Paul chooses rich biblical language to describe the Christian life. In fact, he draws you into the Old Testament wisdom literature by this phrase. The idea of the fool and the wise is something that you ought to recognize in many of the psalms that we sing. I read Psalm 1 and we sang Psalm 1 this morning, and it described the two different characters. Those who are foolish, who do not listen to the word of God, and those who are wise and follow after the Lord. You'll also recognize it in the book of Proverbs. The path of the fool runs counter to God's word and counter to his will, but the path of wisdom follows the Lord carefully. Fools will walk in their own silly wisdom and constantly meet disaster. Read through the book of Proverbs and you'll find how often that comes up, that the fool is scared by a lion in the street and so doesn't go out to work and goes hungry. And many other types of proverbs that are given. I like the way Proverbs 1:7 puts it. There it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool and the wise. Paul uses that language to describe what it is to walk circumspectly, or to walk in a careful fashion, bringing all of your life under God's dominion. Now, I'll help you to understand the very pointed application that Paul makes. He says, be careful how you walk, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Some translations will put that as making the most of every opportunity. There are plenty of simple applications that could be made here. Applications that would go along the lines of not wasting your time, or about planning your days so that they would be well spent. There's a place for those. But Paul's language presses you to take these words to another level, to a level that's not just about the planning of the hours of your life. Instead, he says this, and he says that the days are evil. And that's a phrase that is often used to describe the last days, language that we sometimes call eschatological, or language that is referring to the end times. Paul says we are in a portion of those last days. And there's an urgency about living, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ will return and judge. That means that what Paul is getting at is not just making sure that you have your day planned out on your smartphone so that you make use of every minute. Instead, he has in mind the idea that you don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Instead, redeem the time. The days are evil. We live in the last days. Jesus Christ, our Lord, will return. So what Paul is urging is to live in light of the fact that you will one day stand before your Lord and Savior and give an account for all your attitudes, your thoughts, your actions. You'll give an account for everything. Now, sometimes when people start speaking about last days, there's a frenzied look that comes on them, and they start talking about selling all their possessions and moving out onto the mountaintops to wait for the Lord to return. That's not the type of last days that Paul has in mind. Instead, he has in mind that you will indeed stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and dead, and give an account for your deeds. And so live your life with that in mind. Live knowing that you will give an account to Jesus Christ. That's a good thing, knowing what we already know from chapters 1 through 3. It would be a terrifying thing if you didn't know that Jesus was your Savior, right? It would be a terrifying thing for you to go through your life dreading standing before the Lord because you know that you have not lived up to God's law perfectly. Not one of us has, and not one of us can. But knowing that God, from all eternity past, chose to save sinners through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus came and became a man to bear our sins and to pay the penalty for every single one of them, and that God sent His Spirit to grant us life so that that we understand our place in God's kingdom, and that we live because Jesus has made us alive. And then we walk as a Christian walks, not perfectly, but genuinely following after Jesus, bringing all of our lives under His dominion. We do that knowing that there will be a day when we appear before our judge. And that judge is also our Redeemer. And in Christ, we know that though our sins be as scarlet, that in Christ they are covered and they're as white as snow. And that in Christ our lives are transformed, and in Christ He welcomes all of His children by saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy I have prepared for you." Walk anticipating that welcome by your judge and your Redeemer. Secondly, walk not as unwise, But understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is obviously similar to the previous description. The previous was, walk not as fools, but as wise. Now he says, walk not as unwise. Here Paul develops this idea of what it is to walk in wisdom by saying, walk understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's a phrase that I hear a lot too. Understanding or knowing the Lord's will. I usually hear it as people speak about asking God for direction in their life. That's a very appropriate prayer. Asking God to lead you and to direct your steps so that you would understand His will. Well, that's a good and appropriate prayer. Paul has something different in mind here. Once more, listen to these words in the context of Paul drawing you into the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Paul uses the concept of fool and wise to connect this call to the Old Testament wisdom literature again. So think about what the fool says. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. The fool not only says there is no God, but makes many poor decisions in even the simplest affairs of life and suffers the consequences. In contrast, though, Paul calls you as a child of God to understand the will of the Lord, implying that you would apply that to every single area of your life. Earlier in the letter, Paul used this phrase, the will of the Lord, to refer to the mystery of God's eternal will, a plan that he has to save sinners, a plan that he made even before he made the world. This is the will of God that you need to understand that God sent his Son to save sinners. So when Paul calls you to understand the will of the Lord, he's calling you to understand the gospel. And not just understand it intellectually. By that I mean the idea that you know the facts of the gospel. You might say, yes, I know that God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. To understand that is not just the facts, but it also means that you place your trust in Jesus Christ. You place your trust in Jesus for your eternal salvation and for how that is worked out right now. It's not just something that is a get-out-of-jail card free at the end of life. Your faith, your understanding, the gospel means that you do bring all of your life under the Lord's dominion. In this case, Paul refers to that will of the Lord as the will of Jesus Christ. He uses a term there that is mostly referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be reminded that our Savior is also our Lord. He is the head of the church. So as you understand what Paul is getting at here, you will understand that he's calling you to have a mindset that is like Christ. To have a lifestyle that makes it plain that you are following after Jesus. It means that you commit all of your life to be lived in light of your relationship to Him. You bring all of yourself to bow before Jesus. That will also help you to understand the third phrase that Paul uses here to describe what it means to walk carefully or circumspectly. The last phrase is that you are to walk not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. Here I want you to think of the three positives that Paul speaks of. He seems to correlate all three of them. He calls you to walk as those who are wise, to walk as those who understand the will of the Lord. And now he says to walk as those being filled with the Spirit. I want you to see that in that context of being under the dominion of Jesus Christ, being under the dominion of God Himself. All of these concepts have the idea of bringing your thoughts, your desires, your activities under God's dominion. In the case of being filled with the Spirit, Paul goes on, and as I said, this is the beginning of one of those really, really long sentences. And he's going to express what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Explains that it has to do with speaking to one another, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It applies to singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. It applies to giving thanks to God, of submitting yourselves to one another. That's that one great big long sentence describing what it is to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, once more, Paul has in mind the complete transformation of your life by the work of the Spirit. He is the one who enables you to bring your life under God's dominion. We'll see next week that that includes areas of our relationship to God in worship. And it has to do with our relationship to one another in the church. It includes, really, every area of life. We bring those under God's dominion by the power of the Spirit. While I'm just introducing that today, I do want you to recognize how important it is for you to see that work of the Spirit. God is the one who has saved you for Himself. He calls you to live your life under His dominion, and He enables you to do that by the work of the Spirit. In contrast, Paul says, do not walk as those drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Here's another big word that I'd like to define. Dissipation means breaking things apart and making them come into disarray. You might use the word discombobulated. Well, think about that. Someone who is drunk is discombobulated. They can't quite find their keys. Hopefully they don't use them. They slur their words. They're overcome by drunkenness. Paul isn't talking here about the moderate use of alcohol. He's talking about being overcome or drinking to abuse and drunkenness. In the big picture, you can see how Paul uses this as an instance of being distracted or discombobulated by temptations in this life, so that our lives are full of distraction and dysfunction and brokenness. That's very different from what Paul has said, to bring your life under Christ's dominion, to live your life focused on living for Him by the power of the Spirit. Live that way. Do not live as those who are drunk with wine, their lives scattered to sin. There can be many things in this world around us that will distract you from a lifelong pursuit of following the Lord. In this case, Paul does use a particular temptation that the Ephesians would have been familiar with. Drunkenness itself is foolishness and is sinful. But just a casual reading of Proverbs will show you that. What Paul does is to take this to the Ephesians, and he strikes at one of the other gods that was worshipped in Ephesus. You might remember that the temple of Diana was in Ephesus, and there was lots of sexual immorality that was associated with the worship of Diana. And Paul struck at that in previous verses. But now, he strikes at drunkenness. And also in Ephesus, there was the worship of the god Dionysus, which emphasized drunkenness. You can imagine then that the new Christians in Ephesus might have been tempted to go back into their former lifestyles, whether that be lifestyles of drunkenness or sexual immorality or covetousness. All of these things can stand for, or drunkenness can stand for all of these sins which distract you from living a life under the dominion of Christ. Heads up then. Pay attention to the way you walk. The point that Paul is making here by way of summary is that God has called you out of darkness and into light. He has claimed you as His own child. So walk as a child of God. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. So redeem the time. Stop playing around with sin. It's not fitting for the Christian life. It's the path of fools, and it's not becoming for you as a child of God. Instead, walk with your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Dedicate your life to understanding the will of the Lord, being filled with the Spirit rather than being distracted by the temptations of this world. I hope that you would catch the urgency that Paul gives here, that your time is precious and your life is precious. It's precious because you are redeemed by Christ. As a child of God, then, live your life. Walk the walk that Christ has set before you, bringing all of your life under His dominion. I invite you to please bow in prayer as we respond to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do respond to You, confessing our sins and foolishness to You. We ask, O Lord, that You would stir up our hearts to see who we are in Christ. And since we have such a great redemption given to us, I pray, O Lord, that our faith would be living and active, that we would live that faith out in the choices that we make and the values that we place on life and the relationships that we build. O Lord God, help us to enjoy understanding what it means to bring all of this to You and to offer it to You as our Lord and Savior. O God, we do so knowing that You have redeemed us. We do so in the strength knowing that You have poured out Your Spirit upon us. We pray, O Lord, that You would help us to live that out now in the days that are to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.